Happy Christmas to you and yours from all at the Ross Laird Podcast.
Yes, indeed. Wishing all our listeners everywhere around the world a happy, joyous and safe Christmas. Today I'd like to talk about the author, journalist and poet Edgar Allan Poe. What can I say about Edgar Allan Poe? He was an American writer of endless imagination and a master of chilling descriptive prose. He was also a poet, master of the short story, especially his tales of mystery and the macabre. Poe was born in Boston, Massachusetts on January the 19th, 1809. His father, David Joe Jr., was an actor who had abandoned law practice and married an English actress, Elizabeth Arnold Hopkins. Both his parents died when he was a baby in the same year of 1811 from tuberculosis in Richmond, Virginia. As a result, the three children from their union were separated and Edgar was taken in but never adopted by John Allan, a wealthy Scottish merchant whose name was added to Poe's own. The Allans returned to England when Edgar was just 6 years old. Despite the upheaval for the young boy, his early years were happy, and his stepmother loved him like he was her own child. They returned to the United States in 1820 when Poe was just 11 years old. From then on, he was tutored privately, and in 1826, he entered the University of Virginia. He was a bright student, distinguished in the study of languages, and despite his slight build, he was a good athlete. He boxed, he ran, and he did the long jump. And, to be fair, he was also pleasing on the female eye. His first semester in Virginia University was a disaster. He began drinking and gambling, running up debts and sowing his wild oats like many of his male cohorts. But his adoptive father, John Allan, was not well pleased and removed him from the university and sent him to work in an office. This did not go down well with the young man, and he ran away to join the army in 1827 at the age of just 16. 3 months later, he had the courage of his convictions and self-published a book of poetry, Tamerlane, and other poems. When his adoptive mother fell ill, she pleaded on her deathbed with her husband to help Edgar. He reluctantly agreed and got him an appointment in West Point, the military academy in New York State. He didn't last long there and was soon expelled, much to the ire of his adoptive father, who had pulled so many strings to get him there in the first place. He was disinherited and tossed out of the Allan home. Poe decided to try his hand at journalism and went to Baltimore, where he had an aunt, Marie Clem. She had a young daughter, Virginia. Clem was to become a second mother to Poe, and her daughter, Victoria, the love of his life. At the age of 27, he married his cousin, Virginia, before her 14th birthday. How Maria reacted to her nephew marrying her young daughter is hard to imagine, but it seems that the three were a closely knit family. At the age of 19, Virginia became ill with the same disease that had taken Poe's parents, tuberculosis. She died on January the 30th, 1847, at the tender age of 24 years. On Valentine's Day, the year before her death, she wrote a poem to her husband. She wrote it in such a way that the first letter of every line, when read downwards, reads Edgar Allan Poe. And here's her poem. Ever with thee I wish to roam. Dearest, my life is thine. Give me a cottage for my home and a rich old cypress vine. Remove from the world with its sin and care and the tattling of many tongues. Love alone shall guide us when we are there. Love shall heal my weakened lungs. And oh, the tranquil hours we'll spend, never wishing that others may see. Perfect ease we'll enjoy without thinking to lend ourselves to the world and its glee. Ever peaceful and blissful we'll be. I think it's fair to say that this poem depicts just how much love Victoria felt for Edgar. They seem to have been a happy couple. Some people speculate that Virginia was still a virgin when she died, that theirs was a brother-sister relationship. She died in their humble cottage located on Kingsbridge Road and the Grand Concourse in the Fordham neighbourhood of the Bronx. The cottage now stands a short distance from its original position in a memorial park dedicated to Poe. After Virginia's death, Poe drank heavily, and he got engaged to several women, possibly in an attempt to bring stability back into his life. But he never did marry again. He says he could feel his sanity ebbing from him. In one of his quotes, he writes, "I became insane with long intervals of horrible sanity." His final refuge was his writing. It was his escape from the tumultuous world of pain and anguish. Poe was first engaged to Sarah Royster of Richmond. He was 17, she was 15, but they never married. They were to meet again in later life, and they became engaged again in 1848, a few weeks before he died. She described the young Poe as a beautiful boy. A college friend, Miles George, described him as a most attractive student. Many of the artists of the day tended to drink or use drugs to enhance their artistic endeavours. Some say his work had all the hallmarks of an opium addict, but two physicians who knew him said they never saw any evidence of opium addiction. And one of them, Dr. Don English, was definitely no lover of Poe. As a young schoolboy, Edgar was forever falling in love with women. And one of the most bizarre was his infatuation with the mother of a school friend. The woman in question was Miss Jane Stannard. She died when he was 15 years of age, and her death was to have a profound effect on the young boy. He himself claimed that his poem To Helen was written for her, and he described her as the first purely ideal love of his soul. To Helen. Helen, thy beauty is to me like those Nicene barks of yore, that gently o'er the perfumed sea the weary, way-worn wanderer bore to his own native shore. On desperate seas long wont to roam, thy Hycean hair, thy classic face, thy naiad airs have brought me home to the glory that was Greece and the grandeur that was Rome. Lo, in yon brilliant window niche, how statue-like I see thee stand, the agate lamp within thy hand, a Psyche from the regions which are Holy Land. Poe went missing and his friends were concerned. On October the 3rd, 1849, a printer by the name of Joseph Walker found Poe inside or near Gunner's Hall Tavern, Baltimore. The tavern was being used as a polling station at the time. People suspect he might have been a victim of voting fraud, where the victim is plied with drink and then asked to vote multiple times for the same candidate dressed in different clothes. Walker described Poe as appearing in great distress. It was presumed that Poe was in a drunken state and he was sent to Washington College Hospital. There, Poe was taken to a room where patients were ill due to intoxication. Poe fell in and out of consciousness. His face was pale and his whole person drenched in perspiration. He died quietly before sunrise on Sunday, the 7th of October, 1849. It was logical to assume that alcohol played a role in Poe's death, but he was never given an autopsy and no definitive answer was ever found. Theories of the cause of death include alcohol, rabies, a brain tumour, and even murder, but we have no conclusive evidence because no autopsy was carried out. Perhaps one of Edgar Allan Poe's oddest traits was the fact that he wasn't odd at all. He wasn't some creepy macabre person who hung around graveyards caressing caskets. But he was groundbreaking in his use of language, and his writing changed the face of American literature. He managed by his literary brilliance to make the reader feel the fear, the terror and the despair his characters underwent, especially in his macabre short stories. He is credited as being the father of American detective stories and was an innovator in the genre of science fiction. He worked as a critic reviewing books and went on to work for many magazines. In 1845, the year of the Irish famine, he published The Raven, which made him a household name. The poem is notable for its melodic and dramatic qualities. The story follows an unnamed narrator who, on a dreary winter's night in December, sits by the embers of a dying fire reading a book to help distract himself from the death of his beloved Lenore. He hears something by the door and goes to investigate, but there is nobody there. Disconcerted, a short time later he hears a noise at the window, and when he goes to open it, a raven flies in and perches on a statue. For some odd, crazy reason, the narrator talks to the bird. To his horror and fascination, the bird answers him with a single word, nevermore. Here is a taste of The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe. Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as of someone gently rapping at my chamber door. "'Tis some visitor," I muttered, tapping at my chamber door. "Only this and nothing more." Ah, distinctly I remember, it was in the bleak December, and each separate dying ember wrought its ghost upon the floor. Eagerly I wished the morrow. Vainly I had sought to borrow from my books surcease of sorrow.
So at the age of just 40, Edgar Allan Poe was laid to rest in the Westminster Presbyterian Churchyard in Baltimore. Poe's funeral was a simple one, held at 4 p.m. on Monday, the 8th of October, 1849. The service was presided over by the Reverend W.T. Clem, Virginia's cousin. But because there were so few people in attendance, he decided to drop the sermon. The day was dark and bleak, like many of Poe's most masterfully written stories. To all of you out there, I'd like to thank you for listening to the Rosslare podcast. And remember, when it comes to COVID, we're still not out of the woods. So keep safe and have a wonderful Christmas.